WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to the Brian Lehrer Show. Sitting in for Brian today, I'm Juan Manuel Benitez of New York One Noticias. A surprising news coming from Colombia today. Voters in that South American country rejected a peace deal with FARC rebels on Sunday. By a really small margin, they voted against a deal almost 6 years in the making, a peace accord negotiated in Havana, aiming to end a half-century conflict that has killed more than 200,000 people and displaced about 7 million. Colombians living in New York also participated in this referendum. The negative result went against most predictions and left the country's president, Juan Manuel Santos, in a really difficult spot. This is President Santos through a BBC interpreter.
Como jefe de Estado,
as head of state, I'm the guarantor of this nation's stability, and this democratic decision must not be allowed to affect that stability, which I guarantee. As president, I continue entirely to uphold my ability and my responsibility to maintain public order and to continue to seek and to negotiate for peace.
Joining us now from Bogota, Colombia, Nick Meroff, his correspondent in Latin America for The Washington Post. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Juan, good to be with you.
Nick, tell us what happened.
Well, it's kind of a stunner, huh? You know, this was something that the government always wanted to do to finalize the peace deal with the FARC. They wanted to get the stamp of public approval through a referendum like this. And it was a risk, and they took a gamble, and they lost badly. Voters went to the polls in fairly low numbers yesterday. The government didn't get the kind of turnout it was hoping for, and by a narrow margin, the peace deal with the guerrillas was rejected at the risk of prolonging this war that's been going on since 1964.
So, Nick, what happens now? Because we know we saw those images. We saw that event last Monday in Cartagena de Indias in Colombia, how the deal was signed already. It was signed last week by the government and the guerrilla. So now that deal becomes invalidated?
Well, it's everything is on hold. You know, this whole process is up in the air. Santos right now, as we speak, is meeting in the presidential palace with leaders of Colombia's opposition. They're trying to hash out a new plan to move forward, to reopen the peace negotiations that would inevitably mean probably, you know, tougher terms for the FARC leaders. And a less advantageous agreement for the rebels. So if they can come together on what a new bargaining position would say, then they'll have to take that back to Havana to meet with the guerrilla commanders. And then the question is, you know, would a harsher agreement be acceptable to the FARC?
Well, you're listening to the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez, sitting in for Brian today. We're talking to Nick Meroff, his Latin America correspondent for The Washington Post. We're talking to him about Colombian voters rejecting yesterday a peace accord negotiated by the Colombian government and the FARC guerrilla. Colombians in New York City were able to participate in New York and the surrounding areas were able to participate in this referendum yesterday. We want to hear what they have to say about the result. We want to know if you're happy with the result, if you're disappointed. There were many people hoping that that result was going to be positive. A lot of people who were extremely convinced that it was not good for the country. So we want to hear all those stories. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9692. And Nick, will Juan Manuel Santos, the president of Colombia, step down now as a result?
I don't think so. He went on television last night and told Colombians that he was going to keep fighting for peace, that he was going to keep pushing for an agreement until the end of his mandate, at, you know, which expires in 2018. I don't see him resigning, but I do think that he's politically crippled by this outcome, and his rival, former President Álvaro Uribe, is now the man in the driver's seat of the peace process, because it's his coalition, it's the, you know, the opponents of the peace deal who have to be brought inside the tent, so to speak, if there's going to be any kind of agreement that'll work.
And tell us a little bit more about his role, Álvaro Uribe's role in all this, because even many supporters of his, they had decided this time around to say yes and going against what he was campaigning for. He was the most prominent campaigner for the no in this referendum. So what was his role? Was he really the driver of the victory, in this case, of the victory camp in this referendum?
Yes, he was. He led the opposition to the peace accords. He broke with President Santos back in 2012, when Santos opened negotiations with the rebels. And he was very much excluded from the process. And he insisted that he wanted, you know, that Colombia should have a grand coalition, so to speak. And instead, Santos ran essentially against him. And their rivalry was behind, and to some extent, the yes-no divide over the accord itself. And so with Santos losing that vote, Uribe is now unquestionably the most powerful figure in Colombia. And in some ways, this negotiation is going to become a deal or a negotiation between Uribe and the FARC, who are mortal enemies. And in some ways, you know, Santos has kind of been left irrelevant by this outcome.
Let's hear from our listeners. Andrea in Brooklyn, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show. Tell us what you have to say.
Good morning. Yes. Well, I want to highlight the fact that, first of all, the abstentionism was high. Over 60% of the population didn't vote. So that says something about the degree of disbelief that Colombians have in general of this process. And the second thing is that the populations that overwhelmingly voted yes are for the small populations in the country who have been most beaten over decades from this conflict. And the common people in these small populations were willing to move forward with this peace agreement that had that kind of was based on a concept of forgiveness. In order to move forward at some point, we need to bring forgiveness into the process, and they were willing to do that, whereas the people in the bigger cities who are not so much in touch with this violence on a daily basis are saying no. So now we're saying, okay, that this means that we're going back to the drawing table and we're going to work on an agreement that more people are willing to accept. I mean, what can we do? We can like cry over emails, right?
Andrea, do you go vote yesterday here in the city?
I actually couldn't vote because there was no opening registration for this vote, mm-hmm. and I wasn't registered to vote in New York.
And were you a supporter of the yes because of your conviction, or because as many other Colombians in this area and also in Colombia felt that there was no other plausible option in this referendum?
No, I was because I did my best to get informed about what the peace treaty was about. The document was online for anybody to read, and many Colombian experts talked about it, explained it, like what each point were meaning. You know, this is like a long document. This treaty involved so many different points. It wasn't just like, you know, like it's amnesty and they walk away. No. Mm-hmm. So after reading, informing myself,
you decided that you were going to support.
Right. I thought that yes, I became okay. a supporter of it. Yes.
Thank you, Andrea. And let's go to Alcira in Manhattan. Alcira, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi. I voted for yes, for C, for the peace accord, and I was extremely taken by the news that the no won. I think there was a huge abstention, and there were problems with registration, et cetera, et cetera. But, well, anyway, I think for people who are really interested in what is going on in Colombia, I think we have to continue with the process. I think there were mistakes by the Santos government. They did invite, you know, the grassroots people from the beginning, and many people didn't know too many things that they should have known. So there are mistakes that, you know, there are lessons to be learned from all this process. On the other hand, there was shameless lies on the part of Mr. Uribe and his friends, and the media manipulation of all these lies. There are a lot of media coverage of Mr. Uribe's and his lies and misplaced qualms.
Thank you.
So I am from peace in Colombia.
Thank
like
you so
most
much.
Of Colombians.
Thank you so much, Alcira. And Nick, I wanna know what was the most controversial point or part of this deal that was brokered over the years in Havana, Cuba.
For what I understand,
FARC. One second, Alcira. Let's hear from Nick Maroff. He's a Washington Post correspondent in Latin America. Nick?
I was just saying that, you know, I think the big one was the fact that if FARC leaders fully confessed to their crimes in the war and made reparations, that they could avoid going to prison. A lot of Colombians felt like that was a slap on the wrist and that they deserved a harsher punishment. That will certainly be on the table again with former President Uribe involved in the talks. But then there were a couple other things that, you know, that President Santos called sapos, toads. There's an expression here, swallowing toads, when you have to accept something really distasteful. And two of those I'll just mention were a concession of 10 guaranteed seats in Colombia's Congress for the FARC through 2026. Mm-hmm. You know, that was just like a straight up giveaway. And then, you know, at a time that the Colombian economy is weakening and a lot of families are struggling, I also heard a lot of resentment just talking to ordinary folks about the idea that former guerrillas were going to get cash stipends from the government to support their transition from rebel fighters to civilians.
Uh-huh.
And of course, that makes sense because the government didn't want them to have, you know, no way to earn an income and turn to a life of crime or something like that. Nick, but just on the base level, that was something that a lot of
Colombians... We have to leave it there, Nick. Nick Miroff, correspondent in Latin America for The Washington Post. Thank you so much. And that's all for the Brian Lehrer Show today. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez, political anchor at New York One Noticias.